She who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Father, I pray that as we look at this passage of Scripture very quickly, very briefly this morning, that you will speak to us by your Spirit. Come and meet us here and open our eyes. And I pray that you'd encourage our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Obviously, we've been going through this series on the life of David. We're taking a bit of a break from that this morning, just for a very simple, very short Christmas message. But if you remember, I said that Hannah, back in 1 Samuel chapter 1, chapter 2, is really Mary's forebear in a spiritual sense. And Hannah's prayer, when she finds out that she's with child, one of the things that she says in her own prayer is that it is not by strength that one prevails. It is not by strength that one prevails, but it is by the grace of God. It's not by strength, not by human effort, not by human will, not by our own power or our own authority or whatever it is that we might measure ourselves against in terms of what we look at as success or power or authority or status or position in our own world. That is not how we prevail in God's economy, in God's kingdom, in God's work. We don't prevail by human strength, but we prevail, as Mary says, in our humility, in our weakness. God has remembered us. God is mindful of us. God has come in Christ to raise us up in himself. Rowan Williams, those of you who know him, is the previous Archbishop of Canterbury, otherwise known as Dumbledore, writes in a fabulous little book called Tokens of Trust, about this moment. He says this: Jesus comes into being on earth because God breathes into the world his breath, which is what spirit means, of course, as he breathed into the first human being in the creation story in Genesis. But this doesn't happen without the human event of Mary saying yes. This doesn't happen without the human event, very human event, of Mary saying yes. And he goes on, somehow, the whole history of God's ancient people comes into focus here in this story. The history of a people who have received grace and gifts from God, who had to take responsibility for God in the world. All that God has to give his chosen community is gathered to a point as Mary is asked if she will take responsibility in a unique way for God in the world. She is asked to breathe in the breathing of God and to nurture God's embodiment in her body, and in her commitment of emotion and thought and care, Jesus begins to be as a human being because of this meeting of God's free grace and Mary's grace-filled human readiness and openness. And then he says this final sentence, which just blows my mind. Mary knows her business. By her consent, she makes Jesus possible in that place at that time. By her consent, by her saying yes to God's invitation, she makes Jesus possible in that place and at that time. Now, that just stretches the mind a little bit, doesn't it? What it does in an incredible way, in a mysterious way, is absolutely and fundamentally affirm our humanity. But here is God saying, I'm not going to act despite these people. I'm not going to force something on them. I'm not going to act against their will, if you like. I'm going to work with them. I'm going to partner with these people, these human beings, and I'm going to bring about my purposes in the world through them and through who they are. And that's an incredible promise at Christmas that we can remember, that Jesus doesn't ask us to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and fix ourselves before we're acceptable. He doesn't ask us to try to fight our way into heaven and make ourselves worthy of his grace. No, the whole point of Christmas is that God says, you can't do that, so I'm going to come and do it for you, and in you, I'm going to meet you and carry you, and I'm not only going to call you and save you, but I'm going to enable you to join in with me. I'm going to let you participate. You know, I'm not just going to force it on you and shove it down your throat, but I'm going to ask you if you're willing. That's incredible, isn't it? Because that's God saying, I honor your humanity. I value it. I love you as you are. Now, of course, he's calling us to be changed and to grow up in all things in Christ Jesus, but he meets us here now as we are in this place at this moment, doesn't he? And by us saying yes, and this is the incredible part for me, by us saying yes, then we make Jesus possible in our own time and place. That's to say that we invent him or we create him, but by us saying yes, we invite him to come into our humanity and to reveal his glory and his power in the midst of our weakness, in the midst of our humility, in the midst of our suffering. So we don't strive to achieve anything. We simply humble ourselves and say yes, and Jesus is made possible in the midst of our ordinary human reality. You understand what I'm saying? We invite him to come and manifest himself in our lives, and that then brings the possibility of transformation. Because where Jesus is present, anything could happen, and does happen. Where Jesus reveals his glory, then things are changed, lives are changed, the world is turned upside down. That's what Mary says here in her prayer, that God has come into this moment, at this time, at this place, through me, means that the power structures of the world are being completely reversed. The things that we look to as signs of success are now being brought low, and the humble and the hungry and those who are broken and weak are being raised up. Everything is being turned on its head because Jesus is coming. And when we say yes to him, and when we lay down our lives before him, then that can not only happen in our lives, but then we get to join in with him in bringing that light and that life into the lives of other people as well, which is the invitation at Christmas. Come and join with me. See what I'm doing in the world. It's a new thing. It's not like it was before. It's a new covenant that's being unfolded where everyone gets to say, I know the Lord and I'm filled with his spirit and his law has been written in on my heart. There's no one greater. We're all equal in Christ. We're all at the same place at the table or gathered around our Savior, and he gives value to every single person. So this Christmas, I encourage you to remember to dream. To start to think big again. Because no one expected God to do what he did with Mary. It was totally unexpected. But we have the privilege of looking back and seeing that moment and saying, that's how God does things. He does what's not expected. So that means that if I have faith and I trust and I dream and I begin to believe again and I begin to explore the possibilities of what God might want to do through my life, then he will always go further and do better than I can possibly imagine. Are you with me? Yeah. So this Christmas, we can say, God, I want to start to dream again of what you might want to do through my life, into this city, into my family, into my culture, and my ordinary stuff. What do you want to do, God? How do you want to surprise me? Right? You know, one of the core messages of the gospel, and I just finished with this, is that God loves you so much that he not only promises to save you, he doesn't even ask you to exert your own effort to make that possible. He comes into our world and he carries us, ensuring that we make it. He only, as one writer put it, I read recently, he takes responsibility for us. Think about that. You have a heavenly Father who loves you so much that he himself is taking responsibility for you. And the inverse of that, of course, is that because we're men and women filled with the Spirit, we now get to take responsibility for God in the world. As Rowan Williams says, we get to invite him to come and manifest his presence and his life and his power and his salvation in any and every circumstance of life. That's your responsibility. That's what God invites you to do, is to simply say, yes, come Lord Jesus. Show me your glory. Reveal your power. I humble myself before you so that you can do all that you purpose to do through me. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you just to stand now. And I want to pray for you real quick, and then we're going to move on. But I just wonder if there's a few people here, I count myself in that company, who, as you lead up to Christmas, it's coming to the end of the year and everything's crazy, and you just feel a little overwhelmed, and there's not a lot of space just to be and to dream and to pray. As I want to just take a moment right now to open up some space for you so that you can pray and ask the Lord to start expanding your vision again, dreaming of what he might want to do through you this Christmas in your own families and into the new year in your life. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we have this promise, Paul says in Philippians 3, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could possibly ask or imagine, according to your power that's at work within us. And so, Lord, since you can do beyond what we could ask or imagine, that means that there really should be no limit at all on what we ask or imagine. So I pray for us this morning that we would look to you, and we would see in you the God who's saying, come on, let's do something new. Let's do something that will blow your mind. Let's do something that might just change your life, change the life of another person. Lord, we desire it. We want to be the kind of people who are willing to partner with you in whatever it is that you want to do. And so I pray for these folks that you will you'll start to expand their hearts and minds and lives so that they can receive more and more of you and grow in greater and greater measure in all that it is that you want to do through them in this world. Whatever limitations that we've put on you, God, I pray that you'd break through those this morning in Jesus' name. Wherever we think, oh, I could never do that, or that my faith doesn't go that far, Lord, I pray that you'd stretch it that far in Jesus' name. You're the God who does the impossible, and we want to be part of that impossible. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all.